Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fearless Generations with Terry Sayer and Kelly Fox.
Welcome to Fearless Generations. We're so glad that you're here with us tonight or listening to us at another time. We appreciate your support and would really love to have you comment on our Facebook page and let us know what we can do to further support you as you go through these 12 steps to freedom. And for some of you, along with us, this is the second time that we're going through them, and it's really helpful to me to do that. So I want to welcome you and acknowledge you for your commitment to listen and to practice these steps as we discuss the ways that we are able to implement them into our life as we go through each week as well. So welcome back and welcome, Kelly, and let's have a little report on how things are going in your life and how it's been for you this past week and as you've implemented these steps in your life. And how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. Let's see. Surrender this week. I don't know if I have any particular story about surrender, but my week has been pretty good. We had a weekend of cleaning, and it was kind of, maybe I surrendered to the idea that I can't just say, will you please do this, and it will get done. and then I had a really, really fun girls' night where we had a my Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 themed girls' night. So one of our new friends came, and she made all of this really yummy Greek food. And one of our other friends brought some Greek appetizers. And then one of our other friends brought blue fruit punch, but we put Windex on like a sign on the front of it. So it was like our Windex. Yeah. And then another friend brought a bundt cake. And then I brought goodie bags for everyone. So so they had, you know, candy for the movie. And so it was really funny. It was really fun and a good time. The movie was really good. I wouldn't say it's as good as the first one, but I think that it's still good. I think it had lots of great messages in it. I think it had lots of funny parts, definitely laughed. And so it was good. I thought it was a really good movie. And we had a lot of laughing going on with all of us as well. So I thought it was, you know, it was a really good boost for me.
Good.
The only drawback was that a lot of my girlfriends that I had these girl nights with live about 55 minutes from me. So staying up until 2:30 in the morning is not really a big deal for me, but then having to drive back to Fresno for that 55 minutes was a little bit of a challenge. So it was a good thing that I did not eat my treat bag before, because I ate it all the way home to keep myself awake.
I thought it was kind of funny that you texted me at 2:30 in the morning and said, call me if you're up. Right.
Yeah. Well, see, Terry has a tendency to call me when she is driving to help her stay awake. And so.
That's true. But usually it's in the daytime, not at 2:30 at night.
Usually, but not always. So, but yeah. So, But it was a good time. But in the morning, it was a little hard to get up and ready for church. But we did, and we got to church on time, and that was really good. It was really good to be on church, to be to church on time. So it helps me to have a really nice Sunday and start my week the way that I like to. And we had a good Monday, so hopefully that'll keep going. Every Monday we try to have a family night where we have a lesson and spend some time together. And our lesson tonight was on being a dipper or a, now I can only think of the negative one. What does that say about me? That you can either, I forget what they called it, but that you, where you, you either put stuff in people's buckets or you take stuff out. So we read three different books about that, and a filler, that's what it's called. So are you either a filler or a dipper? Do you either fill people's buckets or do you try to dip into them? And so we talked about, you know, the things that we can do ourselves and what do we like to be, you know, to be done to us, for our buckets to be filled, and just different things like that. So it was a good lesson. We had a good time, and so that's what we did.
Good. That's good. Well, this, in terms of taking risks this past week, and I think we've talked a lot about how stress, risk, and die is really one of the strategies that can help us to be able to implement these steps in our lives. And so taking a risk around surrendering, or just around being present and really putting myself out there. This week I was willing to go to a girls' night with a group of people from our church. And it's our congregation, we have two different separate congregations in our community, and this was the other congregation, not the one that I go to, invited me to participate, and they were going bowling. And that's not something that I'm really good at. It's kind of a fun thing to do, but it's also a time when you're kind of in the spotlight, you know, when you're having your turn at bowling. And so I kind of thought, oh, maybe I won't go. Maybe I'll just stay home. And then I just said, nope, I'm going to go. Even if I'm a little weary, I'm just going to put myself out there. I'm going to take the risk and participate with these people. A lot of them, I didn't know them at all. And I had a really fun time and was able to, I bowled pretty good, which was nice. I think I had about 7 strikes. But it was really fun.
Wow.
And I just kind of was aware of my feelings, and a lot of times I stay in my head too much, and I was aware of my feelings, and I took those risks, and I was willing to surrender looking good and being, you know, a great bowler or whatever, just so that I would feel confident and just really be in the moment and enjoy the connections. So it was fun.
Well, awesome.
It was really fun. So I was going to, when we talk about surrendering, I know we've talked about different aspects of surrendering, and last week you talked about some experiences in your life, and one of the things that I found for me that was really, and I can't remember exactly when it happened, but it was when I finally surrendered the need to be right. And being a perfectionist, it's really difficult, and I am a recovering perfectionist, to give up that or surrender that feeling of inadequacy or incompetency when you're not right. And so I came across a quote when I was doing a workshop, a leadership workshop, and I don't remember where the quote came from, but the quote was, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? And I thought, you know, that's so true. And so I practiced surrendering that feeling, that desire, that mindset, that if I wasn't right, I was incompetent. That's my trigger that puts me into fear. And so I think about that probably every day I think about that when I am in a situation where there's an opportunity to support other people by not, you know, not having to be right in the situation or having to have the last word or having to be the authority. And my nature is to be reactive and it's to be authoritative. So it's a real awareness, which was one of the first steps in our journey, and a willingness to listen and to make a commitment to not having to be right. And that was something I surrendered, that I can really almost say I remember the day that I decided to just surrender that and remember the steps, the process, because it took a long time before that became my way of thinking or my mindset. And it's interesting because nowadays with smartphones, you can think you know things, but, I mean, you can look them up instantly, you know. So it's, like, really easy to have to collect data to support the conversation, you know, if people are having a difference of opinion or they remember things differently. It's easy enough to just click on your smartphone and get the data, which then becomes the point of collaboration, and communication becomes the data itself. So it's interesting how that plays out and how much more I can connect with people when I was willing to surrender that need to be right, which comes as a part of perfectionism. But that need to be perfect had to be surrendered. I chose to surrender that. And as I progressed through working through that realization, that awareness and willingness, it became clear to me that having to be right was a part of that. And then willing to kind of look at the components of perfectionism and take them in little steps, little bits, little baby steps, we like to call it, in fearless living, and just work on those and continue the process of really supporting yourself by surrendering the things that are keeping you and blocking you from moving forward. So I just wanted to kind of share that as a way to get, you know, kind of start our conversation around surrendering and what can change in your life when you're willing to surrender.
Very good.
Yeah, so I think that's probably the whole purpose of this step, is to be able to surrender the things that are blocking you or keeping you from moving forward. And they could be tangible things. They can be emotional things. They can be, you know, just thoughts. They can be actions, reactions. You know, there's a lot of things we can let go of in order to move forward. But we have to be aware of what they are and then willing to take a good look at things and look at things differently.
Yeah, I think for me, when I started this journey, I had to surrender a lot of false beliefs about myself. And one of the things that I asked myself constantly, probably for the first year and a half, if not longer, and almost every day, I asked myself, is this true or am I making it up? Because I had so, which is something that I learned from Rhonda, which is because I just had so many lies that I had been telling myself. My fear had been telling me for so long that I couldn't do this, or I didn't like this, or people didn't like me, or I wasn't good enough. And it had been telling me that for so long that I believed it. And I took it as fact instead of false. And I questioned everything. I questioned, you know, down to do I really like that color or do I not? I mean, because my fear had been I mean, I'm a very detailed person, a very observant person, and I take in lots of information. All of that information that I was taking in, all of the little things that I was seeing were being filtered through all of these lies. And so I had to surrender that filter. I had to surrender those lies. I had to surrender the way that I had been thinking for so long and see all of those things through different eyes and through different filters. And those eyes and those filters were based on me questioning and really, you know, asking, is this true for me or not? Is this really something I like? Is this really something I, you know, am not able to do? Or is this really something that I can do and I can get good at? And I just kept questioning until those things that I were seeing were much more clear. And it was a very long process. I mean, I used multiple tools, and I still am, I feel, clearing out those lies and cleaning up those filters and surrendering things that are not true for me. You know, and I think I talked about that a little last week. I may have confused. I know I confused Terry for a while, so I may have confused some of our listeners. But that was what I was talking about. That I'm still continuing as I go along this process, and I continue to challenge those lies, and challenge those things that I tell myself, that I'm still letting go. I'm still surrendering those things that I find that aren't true, and aren't really who I am.
It's really a lifelong process. I don't think we get fixed. You know, the thing is that we learn strategies and tools, and we learn how to look at things differently, and we recognize when we're triggered, and we accept our essential natures, which are all a part of Rhonda's program for fearless living. But we're always going to be human, and we're always going to be triggered. And there will be times that we're triggered and we get on our wheel of fear and we start to spin around, and we'll be aware and we'll be able to practice some proactive behaviors and break that wheel of fear and get back onto our wheel of freedom. But it's like I think we've talked about many times that, you know, throughout our lives, we're going to have moments of clarity, moments of confusion, moments of fear, moments of freedom. It's not a straight pathway. There are hills and valleys and curves and rivers and mountains. And I mean, our journey is one of continual awareness, continual willingness to see things differently, recognizing when we need to forgive ourselves and others, and taking action to do that, and then to moving on, being stuck for a while, moving on. That's life. And so the things that you've been telling yourself, the things I've been telling myself, when we ask ourselves, did we make it up or is it true? That's a really powerful strategy for awareness, and then allows us to make choices. And based upon those choices, we can take actions in our wheel of freedom, or we can get stuck in our wheel of fear. So it's really a continual process. And the more we practice our proactive strategies and we practice living true to ourselves and having integrity around our essential nature, which is who we really are, we become more and more innate. It becomes more internal for us to make those choices and decisions based upon the truth. But mm-hmm. I don't think there will ever be a time that we can't be triggered.
Well, no.
Or even go backwards and then stumble. Mm-hmm. But we have those tools and the knowledge and the willingness to get up and start on the journey again. And when we're faced with those challenges, again, we have those choices. We can either look at things negatively or we can look at them positively. And I think that Rosie, who was both of our mentor when we were going through our training, I believe she's the one that's credited with saying, if you're going to make things up, make them up really good. And so mm-hmm. I think that's something that I think about that when I ask myself that question. Is it true or am I making it up? Well, if I'm making it up, I'm going to make it up really good, you know,
mm-hmm.
because the negativity can just cycle you into the fear and getting stuck on your wheel of fear. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think that when Rhonda talks about how integrity is increased when you are willing to surrender, it's like when you surrender to your true nature and you put your ego aside for what's true, then our actions, our language, our thoughts, it all becomes an expression of who we truly are. So like mm-hmm. as a perfectionist, I couldn't be true to my essential nature, which is compassion, because perfectionism does not allow for you to have compassion for yourself. Perfectionism is innately beating yourself up because you can't measure up to this expectation that you have of yourself that's unattainable, because perfection is not attainable in this life. And so it was the opposite, almost the opposite of my true nature. So in order for me to really love myself and then love others, I had to be true to the compassion for myself and compassion for others, instead of this need for myself to be perfect and then hold everyone else to that standard as well. So I think that's where integrity comes in, is doing the work to find out who you truly are. And through the Fearless Living Program, that's the process that we take people through that's so amazing to help people recognize their own value and their own brilliance in expressing that essential nature once they are aware of what that is, and they can do the work to know what that is through our program that Rhonda Britton has developed in our coaching. And that's where the integrity comes in, and it's the being true to that essential nature mm-hmm. and acting, thinking, speaking, being whom you truly are, and mm-hmm. and understanding that with a clarity. I think that's where the integrity comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been thinking about that. I mean, I feel like we have a tendency as a society to put a lot of labels on ourselves because of things we mm-hmm. do or things we think. We put these different labels on ourselves. And what is at the core of who we are? What is that thing that's, you know, at the center of who we are? There's not a label for that. You know, it's you know, the essence of who you are. It's, you mm-hmm. know, it's, and coming from a place, you know, of that, you know, coming from that place, that's having integrity, you know, living your life from that place, that's integrity. Not saying, oh, well, you know, today I have this hat on and tomorrow I have that hat on, you know, and as we grow and as we mature, our opinions and our choices and our decisions change, you know, but the essence of who we are, that, you know, that doesn't change. That just, you know, deepens and expands. And so if we come from, you know, that place, then, you know, that's, you know, having integrity. Because I think sometimes we put labels on ourselves. I mean, it's almost like, you know, when you, I don't drink coffee, but I have friends that do. And you go to Starbucks with them and there's like 6 different things they say just to get one cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think that that's kind of how we are with ourselves too. Like, you know, we're tall, non-fat macchiato with a twist upside down or something. You know, it's like, it's, you know, these things don't make sense. And, you know, when you strip those away and you get down to the core of it, you know, who are you? And you know, what do you really believe in? What do you really stand for? And what is really you, and not what somebody else has put on you, or not what you think that you should put on yourself, but what are you, and what do you stand mm-hmm. for? And what is in your heart? And what is your purpose here, you know, going forward? And you know, and making choices and living your life from that place, not mm-hmm. you know, not the latest trend or you know, whatever, you know, the newest label you can put on yourself, but that place inside of you that's always been there.
Yeah, I think that probably is one of the greatest gifts that Rhonda gave to us in this program and through her work, is being able to discover who that is
mm-hmm.
and being able to have a way to be in touch with that and to make those choices from that place. I think that was probably the greatest gift of my own personal journey of going with a fearless living coach and working through that and that process. And that process becomes refined every time I work with a client, every time I do a workshop, every time I meditate, it becomes more clear to me, and I can drill it deeper into my being to where I can access that true essence of myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is probably the most exciting part about being a coach and having the passion to share this with other people, is to see people have, you know, discover that and have that clarity in their thinking, acting, you know, talking, whatever, that it just becomes their essence, and they're able to access that to be true to themselves and be the person that they were, you know, created to be. That's
mm-hmm.
exciting. That's a
yeah.
real exciting component of what we do,
mm-hmm.
both in our own life and in the lives of others.
Yeah, I deal with, you know, well, not even just clients, but my children or my husband or my friends, you know, I always think, I wish they could see themselves through my eyes, because
mm-hmm.
if they could, they would see, you know, how sparkly shiny they are. They would see how capable and smart and beautiful and talented they are. And I was thinking about that, I think, earlier today, because Janet, one of the coaches that we have on the call quite often, or on the show quite often, she messaged me and she asked me if I would be willing to share with her what kind of a coach I thought she was. And one of the things that I told her is that my goal is to see myself the way that she sees me. And I think that is one of the biggest things that a coach, you know, that's what a coach, I think, or at least that's the kind of coach I want to be, that my clients eventually start to see themselves as I see them.
Mm-hmm.
And that Janet does that for me. And she,
mm-hmm.
she I want to see myself the way Janet sees me, because
mm-hmm.
then I would see, you know, all of these things that she tells me, I would see, you know, the way, you know, I would see myself the way that I see her, or the way I see you, or the way I see, you know, my clients, or, you know, my husband or my kids, my friends. You know, I want to see myself the way I see others, you know,
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And so I think that, you know, that's a big thing of, you know, what we do as coaches. You know, we want people to see themselves as who they truly are,
Well, that kind of takes up our time. We're out of time, and I appreciate your thoughts, and it just helps me to become more clear as I listen to you and as we talk about how integrity and surrender affect us in our lives. And we look forward to hearing from you on our Facebook page or contacting us with our contact information. We'd love to have conversations with you. Call in, join us on the call. But just remember that as you work through these steps, that you are coming closer and closer and more clear about your true nature. And that's where the integrity comes in, is in living true to that. So we'll say goodnight, and we'll talk more about surrender next week. And I look forward to visiting with you again. And Kelly, you have a great day. I will see you tomorrow night when I'm on my way to the Bay Area. So take care.
Yeah. And And Elaine Glass is going to be with us next week as well as we continue our discussion. So
wonderful.
Make sure to tune into that.
Wonderful. Well, very good. Good night, and be fearless.
Good night, everyone.